When 22-year-old Christian Trump Gorman died of a drug overdose in January, she left behind two young children. Trump Gorman had long battled an opioid addiction, and child welfare officials had removed 4-year-old Cameron and 1-year-old Layla May from her care about a year earlier. But the family's case supervisor, Heather Carpenter, says the hope was that the children would ultimately be reunified with their mom.
And so with her sudden loss, it left them all just all over the place. Uncertainties about, well, then who, if not her, then who?
While the children's father could eventually gain custody, for now the answer to Carpenter's question is great-grandmother Patricia Sivalchuk. With Carpenter's guidance, Sivalchuk has become the certified foster parent to her granddaughter's children. Other relatives pitch in, but at 74 years old, Sivalchuk has in effect become a single parent. She and the two children now live in her McKees Rocks home of nearly 40 years. The house is buzzing with activity. They have a dog, and other family members often stop in to visit. Sivalchuk had been planning to sell the home and even signed up for senior housing, but she put those plans on hold to take in her two great-grandkids.
Everybody I talked to, my friends, said, I wouldn't do that. You know, if I had that problem, I would never do it. But I said, nobody taking my kids and letting them get hurt.
Sivalchuk's experience reflects one way Allegheny County's Office of Children, Youth, and Families is trying to manage the opioid crisis. Since 1990, the office has used an approach called kinship care, where kids go to live with relatives and family friends rather than foster parents they've never met before. 2 years ago, the office placed about half of the kids it removed from homes in kinship care. Now it's up to 65%. This approach, Director Walter Smith says, has helped the child welfare system to absorb rising caseloads driven by the opioid crisis. County data show that in the last year and a half, the number of kids needing care has jumped by nearly 20%.
If not for that shift, we would be in big crisis because kinship care, family foster care costs much, much less than group homes and residential settings.
That's because, unlike group homes, kinship care doesn't require dedicated facilities and round-the-clock staffing. But there are other benefits to placing kids with people they already know, according to Smith.
We think that's better because it provides, you know, long-term stable relationships and connections for kids. Every child needs to be in a setting where they have long-term relationships with people who care about them.
This wasn't always the prevailing wisdom, says Gretchen Perry of Lakehead University in Ontario, Canada.
Historically, there was a sense that children were in difficult circumstances because of the homes they were in, and if these were not good homes, then the environment generally, meaning the extended family, was in question as well.
But Perry says in the 1980s and 90s, child welfare systems were buckling under mounting caseloads, due in part to greater awareness of child abuse and neglect starting in the 1960s. These systems, she notes, started to turn to extended family as potential caregivers.
And that was really a major sea change in alternative caregiving that really required a whole different philosophy in terms of child protection and how they were functioning.
And the approach didn't turn out to be as risky as once thought. The Pittsburgh-based agency A Second Chance handles Allegheny County's kinship care cases, and its research shows that clients have performed better than the average American foster child on a host of measures. They're more likely to graduate high school, less likely to experience teen pregnancy, and stand a greater chance of being reunified with their parents. But Perry's research indicates that it could depend on what type of kin a child is placed with. She's found that kids tend to enjoy more stable and longer-term care with blood relatives than with family friends and others in the community.
This idea of, you know, blood is thicker than water really is a nice way of describing those sort of natural emotional adaptations of how we relate to our family and our willingness to commit to them in a different way than we do to strangers or, you know, just friends.
Still, challenges with kinship care remain. In families caught up in the opioid crisis, problems like substance use and poverty often affect multiple generations, says case supervisor Heather Carpenter.
We're finding that more of those family members in that demographic have been dealing with these issues for quite a while.
That means they might need more help. Caring for kids involves significant cost and sacrifice, as Patricia Sivalchuk can attest.
It changed, that's for sure. Especially my age, I didn't think I'd be raising two little kids at my age.
The county, through its partnership with A Second Chance, provides caregivers with counseling, transportation, and help around the house. And the caregivers do get paid, just like any other foster parent. But it's not a perfect solution. Kinship Care still asks a lot of relatives like Savalchek. She says she's been losing weight and sleep due to the demands of caring for her two great-grandkids.
I know when they do get their own place, I'm going to miss them very much, but yet I need that little break too, you know.
In the best of cases, Kinship Care leads to permanent placement with a family member. But even if it doesn't, child welfare officials say it's the highest quality and most stable care they can provide to many children entangled in an opioid crisis that's only expected to get worse. I'm Anlie Herring, 90.5 WESA News.